So I've been wanting to interview you for many years for all the various cool projects that you've been on, from Homicide to The Shield to Moneyball to many other things that are too numerous to mention. But I never could never really figure out the excuse. But now you're doing Shakespeare. How did you get to be a member of the Joss Whedon Dancers?
He's one of a kind. He is incredibly special and, dare I say, a genius.
Well, I don't. You know what? I don't think that that word is inappropriately applied with him. I mean, he is really an artist and a creature of depth, and yet presents as a goofball, which I
Yes,
love.
he's able to run the entire gamut of foppish good humor to just blistering, diamond-cutting intellect.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 339, Joss Whedon Shakespeare. Actor Reed Diamond plays Don Pedro in Joss Whedon's film adaptation of Much Ado About Nothing, which opens this week in the US and next week in the UK. As it happens, I know Reed from seeing him perform improv at IO West in Los Angeles. So last Friday, I chatted with Reed via Skype about what it was like to work on this very cool Shakespeare film and how he first started working with director Joss Whedon.
I was really fortunate. A couple of years, like about 4 or 5 years ago, I got a call to do his show, the pilot of his show, Dollhouse.
Oh, right.
And it was supposed to be just a one-off, but they're like, "Would you like to do this new Joss Whedon show?" And I said, "You know, I'd always wanted to work with him." And I was like, "Of course, absolutely." And I met him. It was just one scene in the pilot, but we hit it off, and then suddenly I was part of the show, and it was just an amazing character and an amazing, you know, group of actors. So I got to be in his universe. And then it's funny how this Much Ado thing came about, because I think, you know, I for some reason decided as a young man to get classically trained. And there was a period I was in college, just drinking my face off and just wandering through I'd already, you know, I decided at about 14 that I was going to be a professional actor, but I was like, and I'd spent my summers in summer stock and doing actorly pursuits and never having any fun. So when I graduated high school, I decided, well, I should go to college and have some fun. So I toured all institutions of higher learning, and then I picked the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill because it looked like was just the prototypical college.
Yeah.
And I wanted to have a college experience. I wanted to join a fraternity and drink a lot of beer and and be as far away from New York City as I could, in culturally and I don't know, just as far from my parents and people that I knew. So I was there, and I partied my face off. And about 6 months in, I was like, I need to get serious, because there had been an article in the Sunday New York Times about William Hurt and Kevin Kline and about Juilliard and Yale. And I was like, God, I need to get some classical training, because I want to play Lear when I'm 60. So I applied to Juilliard and had my audition and got in. But so then many years later, this was, you know, two years ago, I'm lamenting to my wife. I'm like, why did I get classically trained? I'm never, ever going to do Shakespeare, ever. Right. 2 weeks later, I get an email from Joss, and he's like, he's fishing, he's casting out his lines, and he's saying, hey, I'm thinking about 2 weeks, I'm going to do a movie of Much Ado. Are you interested? And my response is, absolutely. I get another email back. All right, cool. I'll let you know in a week who you're playing. And so about a week later, he goes, I've decided you're going to be one of the Dons. I'll let you know. And later that day, he says, you're going to be Don Pedro. And I'm like, great. We start in 10 days. and there it was. I was like, wow, I never thought I'd do Shakespeare again. And now I'm about to do it with Joss Whedon. And so we all met at his house, where he has an actual amphitheater cut into the cliff where he lives, because he loves to do Shakespeare readings. And I'd always wanted to be invited to one. And I'd been invited to one, but I couldn't do it because I was working. But now I got to be part of this movie, and I didn't know what it was going to be like. We all got together and we had a read through in his living room. And the beauty of the Whedonverse is he assembles just the most amazing. It's just, you know, as he calls it, like a group of friends. So they're just the most wonderful people that you want to do anything with. You just want to hang out with. You want to do, you know, a TV show with. You want to do a movie with. But we read through and, okay, we're going to do this. And he's like, now learn your lines. Because we had 10 days to really, I guess 12 shooting days. But we had just, you know, a week and a couple of weekends to make this movie in. Mm-hmm. So, and we didn't know what order we were going to shoot it in. There wasn't really going to be any rehearsal. So I just locked myself in my office for a week and I learned it. Like I was about to go off and do rep somewhere. Like
right.
I've got a week to learn this play. Cause I was, you know, because the other, the beyond Joss's immense creativity and talent, the other reason that it's exciting to work with him is he is one guy you do not want to disappoint in any way. You do not want to let him down.
Yeah.
Because there is no greater thrill than seeing joy on his face when you're doing it, performing his words. Mm. And I'd had that experience on his show, and now we're going to do, and or now it's not his words, but it's Shakespeare's words for him. And so a week later, we show up, and I think we all expected it was probably going to be Joss with a handheld camera. And I remember showing up for the first day, and we had three cameras, a full crew, the best craft service of my entire career. And I think everyone was working for nothing but just to work with Joss on this production. And this was, without question, well, I would say the greatest experience of my entire career. And everything that I kind of knew and hoped that Shakespeare could be. Going back to that Joss Whedon's a genius. The beauty, I think, of this production and this movie and this interpretation of the play was Joss understands Shakespeare so well and every nuance. That this was the first time that I'd seen every character in a Shakespeare play come alive. Because he knew who they were, he cast them well, he understood each situation. My experience in the past, the first time I saw Much Ado About Nothing, I saw Derek Jacobi and Sinead Cusack do it with the RSC, I guess, because I'd won my high school Shakespeare competition. I'd done some monologues and been, I'm sure, very, very theatrical and very romantic poses. But I'd won my high school Shakespeare contest. So the reward was going to see the RSC do Much Ado. And that was my first Much Ado. But I remember my experience, and then subsequently had always been with Much Ado, is like, oh, Beatrice and Benedict. And then there's filler until you get to the next Beatrice and Benedict scene.
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
And but this was not the case with this production, that his insight just in how he set a scene, you suddenly understood how you were supposed to play it. For example, you know, there was a scene that occurs the morning after where they come up with the idea that they're going to get Beatrice and Benedict together. And he just said, oh, you've been partying all night. So this is about 6 a.m. and you've been playing through. You are still drinking. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you're like, oh, now this scene makes sense. Or just who these people are. The, you know, we're Don Pedro and you know, these are the idle rich.
Right.
These are people who stay at other fabulously wealthy people's houses and have to amuse themselves. And as soon as I understood that there was caprice and just idleness and how do we fill our days with alcohol and with little, you know, putting people together and creating, you know, horrible situations. Now I understood how to play the scenes.
Well, and you were playing, of course, the Denzel Washington role. And I'm sure you and Denzel get cast the same way all the time.
All the time. Well, it's funny too, because Don Pedro, because I remembered when he's like, you're going to play one of the Dons. And I remember Don John so well, because he was so evil. And I'd remembered him from from the Derek Jacobi production and subsequent productions that I'd seen throughout. I was like, oh, he seems like a great part. I didn't even remember Don Pedro.
Yeah, one doesn't.
Traditionally, Don Pedro is like, oh, we've got a 75-year-old member of the company. We should give him a part. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, this is when he first said you're going to play Don Pedro. I was like, oh, I'll do anything. You know, I'll be servant three for Joss. But then I read it. I was like, this is a great part.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Joss whispering into your ear and just giving you a couple of just nuances for that character. I was like, oh, this is a great part. I'm so excited. And
Don Pedro's the one who didn't get Beatrice.
He did. Well, because, yeah, he kind of, he wants everyone and he's just perverse. And that's what was so exciting about him, because it's like, he's drinking all the time, and we made sure that there was alcohol in every scene. He's drinking all the time, and he's coming up with these horrible ideas like, hey, you, Claudio, you should be with Hero. But you know what? How we'll get you with Hero? I'll pretend to be you and woo her. Like, that is that's sick.
Yeah.
And delicious. Mm-hmm. Sick and delicious. So with Jossa sort of just reminding you of that and setting the scenes in such, you know, beautiful ways, the play came alive. And it's, I mean, came alive for me in a way that, well, I've never seen it come alive or never, I think, you know, I've been involved in many, Shakespeare play productions where oftentimes there are just scenes that you want to get through. I mean, with this, I think the revelation beyond just each character coming alive, for me, with Nathan Fillion as Dogberry and Tom Lenk, you know, with him, the two of them together, because Joss's vision was like, we're going to play the Dogberry scenes as like Law and Order. Like, these guys are going to play it straight and take it really seriously. And, you know, traditionally, I've seen that played in sort of that Shakespearean comic way where it's like, where you're going, we're being really funny right now. But it's like,
yeah, and there's nothing worse.
There's nothing, and you're not, and these were hysterical. Like, the hardest part about doing the scenes with Nathan and Tom were just keeping a straight face.
Yeah.
Because they found so much business and they played it so straight that all the malaprops just were hilarious and alive and vibrant and contemporary and Shakespeare's words.
I'm Michael Whitmore, director of the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C., and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This month, June 2013, you can see us in Columbia, Maryland in the U.S. And in the U.K. in June and July, you can see us in Great Yarmouth, High Wycombe, Camberley, Surrey, Hastings East, Dulwich, Aberystwyth, Southport, Lincoln, Barnsley, Barrow and Furness, Leeds, Ayr, Stirling, South Shields, Musselburgh and London for 4 weeks at the Leicester Square Theatre in July and August. Plus, we've also added some fall 2013 U.S. and U.K. dates, and we've also added some tour dates in both Australia and Asia. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
So you've done Shakespeare in college and whatever on stage, live. Yeah. What was it like doing it for a camera? Or was it different for you? Did you feel like you had to scale it? Make sure your face didn't move as much to literally form all those juicy words?
Yeah, I mean, I think doing it for the camera was really a great gift, because playing it real, so you have all of this language that's heightened, and we're fortunate that, you know, Much Ado is a prose play.
Yeah.
So that makes that certainly the language is felt very alive and very contemporary, but doing it for the camera just kept you honest.
Yeah.
And he wanted it played real. And then I feel like it helped the play come alive even more by the more real that we played it.
Yeah.
Because you can't go over the top, but you can find all of those vibrant over the top moments of life, you know, and I think it worked brilliantly. No one was in danger of overplaying it. And the beauty too, I think, which is, I mean, I'll keep saying that Joss Whedon is a genius, and we're all so lucky to have worked under his tutelage, is that I thought, and now I've seen the movie three or four times, that every performance comes alive. And there are people who had never done Shakespeare, and there are people who'd done a ton of Shakespeare. And I thought you couldn't really tell who had and who hadn't. Everyone was so good and cool. So committed. And there's just parts where just the watchmen are just infinitely watchable. So
do you feel like, because you've, I mean, the first time I ever saw you on TV was in Homicide, and you're doing some more comic stuff now with Franklin and Bash and this, presumably.
Right.
Do you feel like Shakespeare brings a few more, allows you to bring all of those skills in a way that a part on Homicide doesn't, or a way that a part on Franklin and Bash doesn't? Do you know what I'm asking?
I do, exactly. I'm it's it's lovely that you asked that question, because I feel, for me, this movie, this performance in Much Ado was the first time, I think, in my career that I was able to use, I think, what are my strong talents and put them all together. So be real and be funny and deal with language. It was the first time that I was able to just use my rubbery body and my some of my silly ideas. It was the first time that I felt like every ounce of me was used. Yeah. And I got to do it, because also what I love about this play is the tonal shifts are profound.
Yeah.
Go from like just wildly mirthful scenes to, yeah. I mean, just the darkest, you know, moments. I mean, that's, and we played them all real. So when you think you've killed Hero.
Right.
And, you know, that is some heavy shit. and then also when you're just like, let's all get together and let's have sex and drink, you know, so you get to use all of it. And so, yeah. And also we shot the scenes. We never broke up the scenes. So when we shot them, you'd shoot the whole scene as if you were doing it on stage.
Right.
So that also, and that's one of those, you know, where you're like eight pages in and you're like, don't mess it up now. So it also had all that thrill of theater, yeah, where there's no like, because also I remember I did one of these scenes where I think it was, we were shooting in like a 7 or 8 page increment, and the light's going, you know, we have very little time and it's my coverage. And I'm just like, I felt like I was on stage.
Wow.
And even to the point where I know I'm performing for the other actors, because you can see like they're like, wow, this is going well. And you're going, you know, and you just feel Joss behind you. You can feel that he's enjoying it. And so you get that also that lift, that theatrical lift that you rarely get when you're filming stuff.
That's so cool. But you said you locked yourself in a room for a week to learn the lines. Was there any rehearsal at all once you got all the cast together, or just when you're literally blocking the cameras?
There were a couple of scenes that were rehearsed, but we really had no time. You know, Joss had just finished shooting The Avengers. He had 2 weeks off before he had to go edit it.
Right.
It was all secret too. Like he didn't tell anyone he was doing it. We weren't allowed to tell anyone we were doing it. There were a couple of rehearsals, but no, not really.
Wow.
So we would really rehearse it while we blocked it.
Yep.
But still, it's amazing that we shot it in 10 days, because on another level, it felt like we had all the time in the world.
Hmm.
It was the most relaxed, supportive set I'd ever been on. And you felt incredibly creative. And you also, you know, when you work with Joss too, you know you're in amazing hands. You know that he's not going to let you suck.
Right.
And he's not going to let the scene suck. And he's not going to stop until he gets what he wants. But at the same time, while he has such a strong vision, he is so, you know, appreciative and of what you contribute. So as soon as you contribute something, he's like, oh my God, yes. So then, you know, he's able to shift, you know, his entire view of the scene in seconds. And it was also one of those productions where no one left. You know, we're at the house. So when you're done shooting your scenes, you just hang out and watch everyone else shoot their scenes. Because And you know, we had a party scene, and he just invited tons of his other friends, got cases of wine. They had a party, a real party. They went all night, and we just shot around it. And
wow.
We just instructed to not drink as much as everyone else.
What a taskmaster.
What a taskmaster.
He insisted you remain sober. What a jerk.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, but it's not the end of my conversation with Reed Diamond. He and I continue chatting about his days improvising and his experience shooting Moneyball with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill, so I'll post the rest of that conversation in a future podcast. Send us your bardolatry via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a Twit. Follow us on Twitter at Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, good man and true Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Patrick Malone. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Michael Whitmore from the Folger Shakespeare Library in Washington, D.C. And thanks, of course, to Reed Diamond. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 339/1017 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Much Ado About Nothing, I you know, that's like a sin eraser. So, like, you know, all the bad TV that I have to do to pay the bills, this is one of those, like, every few years I do something like, you know, Good Night and Good Luck, or, you know, Much Ado, where you're like, oh, this will forgive a lot of my TV crimes.
But also, Franklin and Bash, you get to do comedy.
And I get to work with Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
So that's the highlight.
So yeah. These are not bad reasons to be doing
no,
TV
these
show.
Are all good reasons to bless you.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.